And we now would like to welcome our psychologist, Maria Andreoli. She's going to be sharing with us about the stories that we tell ourselves in our heads, the narratives that we use to, you know, how they impact our own mental health. And that's an absolutely fascinating topic. Maria, good morning to you. It's great to have you here with us this morning.
Good morning, Scafi. It's great to be back home.
And Maria, look, can you give us a little bit of a recap? Because you started that conversation already. So what are we looking at exactly?
So last fortnight, we introduced this idea of how we all carry a narrative identity. We all carry a story about our own life. And sometimes it's, you know, various different stories about our life. And we talked about how people who have better kind of articulated and better laid out narrative identities seem to have better mental health. So we talked about the importance of being able to, like, if someone asked you to share your story, how would you share that story? Mm. And we talked about how people who are able to kind of break their story down into different sequences, people who have like different, almost like chapters about their life story, just tend to have better well-being overall.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating because this is something that we don't really talk about very often, like how we talk, how we tell ourselves about our own stories and how we tell others about our own stories. So what are some of the pitfalls here? What are some of the negative patterns that we should avoid?
So, yeah, there's a few different ways that we can tell our story, right? And I think I need to quickly outline something I said shared last time was that our brain doesn't remember events like a camera would capture something on film. There is no like way, like our brain doesn't record memories perfectly. Our memories can shift and change over time. Mm-hmm. They can change based on how we're feeling in any given particular day. Mm. They can be, you know, edited and shifted, and we can focus on different parts of our life and like highlight different key moments and create different stories based off what we highlight. So that's the way our memory works, right? So if we're talking about what are some pitfalls, you know, what are some ways that we can kind of like cut and edit our stories in ways that will be negative for us? There's a few different things, but since we're starting with the negative one, there's something called a contamination story. So researchers looking at this way that people tell their stories to themselves and to other people, there's a theme that comes out that's called contamination. Mm. So a contamination story, like you can break it down into three different parts. It's this idea of something good once existed, but then this painful event happened. And after that, nothing was ever the same. Mm. So anyone who carries this kind of story with them tends to have just greater rates of depression overall. And it doesn't necessarily change, like it's not necessarily impacted by what actually happened. It's really just the way that we view that event. Like, was that the thing that changed my life for the worse? And nothing was quite the same after that. So that's
that
the contamination story.
It's probably
the most harmful story.
That is absolutely fascinating because I can see patterns. I when I talk to people and I can see now how that story has been shared with you so many times. I never really had a label to put on it, but it makes a lot of sense. It's a full, complete narrative arc, really, but it's a bit of a horror story that we tell ourselves, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, it is a horror story, isn't it? But it has an impact. Like they've actually done research specifically on people trying to come out of addiction. And they found that people who carried contamination stories were only, like in a specific group, were only 44% likely to come out of their addiction. But people who didn't carry those contamination stories were 83% more likely to stay sober.
Wow.
So it impacts our habits, our behavior, our ability to recover as well.
So what are the, okay, so that's contamination. What are other patterns of stories that we tell ourselves?
So maybe let's start with the one that I think is kind of like the opposite to a contamination story. And it's called a redemption story.
Mm.
So you can imagine where this one goes. It's about something painful has happened, and I went through this really hard time, but eventually something life-giving came out of it. Something positive turned around for me. And the positive thing might not be something that happened in my own life. It could be something that happened inside of me. It could be something inside of me changed for the better, right? But it's just this idea. It doesn't mean that the bad thing I went through was a good thing, but what came out of it was eventually good. So people who have those redemption stories and carry them with them, they just do better overall. They have better well-being, better mental health, and stronger sense of life purpose, I guess.
Do you think that this is where the Bible kind of aligns us or encourages us to really see our lives through that, through those lenses of redemption as well? Or do you think
Absolutely.
That the Bible is more like on the contamination side of things? What is your perspective as a you know, from a Bible perspective?
The Bible's a narrative, and it's a narrative that ties us in, that involves us, that tells us that we're part of a greater story in which eventually the good side wins and everything is redeemed. So the Bible is one great redemption story.
It's true.
And we are a key character in that story.
That's amazing. And look, absolutely. And one of the passages that I was thinking of, you know, is when Jesus says, for example, blessed are you when you're persecuted, because, you know, this is what they've done with the prophet. So even he's getting something negative, but he's giving a, hey, when something negative happens to you, guess what? You actually can celebrate because something positive will come out of that on the other side.
Absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely,
you know,
all the way, yeah.
In everything, give thanks. Another one, like how can we give everything thanks? Well, because in every story, even in negative things, God is able to bring good out of evil.
Yeah, absolutely, and like be patient when you go through various trials, because we know the testing of our patience eventually produces character and hope. So if I honestly believe that if we are reading our Bibles often, our brains, and really taking it in, our brains will be wired towards looking for redemption stories in various parts of our life.
Amazing.
Because it teaches us that way of thinking.
Yes. Oh, that's really fascinating. Look, contamination stories, redemption stories, this is very fascinating. What else, you know, can we learn about that world of our internal narratives? Are there other patterns?
There's two more. There's two more that have been quite researched. One of them that has a lot of evidence behind it is this idea of agency. So agency asks the question of like, what role did I play or how much choice did I have? So people who are able to look back on their stories and identify that they had some level of choice, that they had options, basically that life wasn't just happening to them, right? Things weren't just happening. They weren't just a victim, but there were maybe factors outside of their control, but they were able to take steps within that. People who have that greater sense of agency tend to have better mental health. So there's actually been a big research study that looked at people over 9 years. And they found that even when they controlled for that person's, those people's personality traits, and they even controlled for how the stories ended up, if they had greater agency, they just had lower depression. So agency, I'm recognizing might be a bit confusing, but some examples could be, I don't know, I didn't choose my diagnosis, but I chose to take steps to better my health. Okay. Or I didn't choose being betrayed by someone, but I chose not to let that bitterness overtake my future. So it's people who are able to find an element of choice. They don't walk through life feeling powerless or like life just happens, but they're able to see where they have that personal responsibility and choice.
Yeah, I really appreciate that, what you're sharing, Maria, because it's sometimes we can be victims, but at the same time, sometimes we can tell ourselves victim stories, because there is some kind of comfort in feeling the victim and, you know, receiving the attention of other people. It can even be a little bit addictive. And then we can just start seeing that victim, oh, I'm a victim mentality everywhere. But that's not really conducive to good mental health. But if we take ownership and say, you know what, I there are things that I can choose. I can choose. It's very empowering to think that way.
Absolutely. And look, the reality is that sometimes absolutely awful things happen to people. And but even like newer kind of approaches, for example, dealing with women who've come out of domestic violence, you know, the therapists realized they needed to change the language with how we told, like what we told those women that they were. Like, they couldn't just keep calling them victims, mm-hmm. you know, because that wasn't helpful for the women. And they actually changed the language to calling them survivors.
Oh, that's right? Why.
Because mm-hmm. the way we think about things matters, you know.
Yeah.
And we don't want to keep someone trapped in that state of pain. But being able to see them as, you know, we didn't control the way we were treated, but we had agency in the steps we took once we came out of that situation. And being able to view our stories in that way just protects us from developing depression.
That's fascinating. I never really thought about that, because, yes, I've seen so many, you know, like there's that shift in language, particularly, as you mentioned, for people that experience the, you know, the horrors of domestic violence into a domestic violence survivor, cancer survivor. And I never realized how powerful just that small shift would have in someone's identity.
Yeah, well, our stories are really just a collection of words. So language is really powerful. I really think that, you know, what we think doesn't shape our language, but the language we use also shapes the way we view the world. And that's a big part of how we tell our stories, is the language that we choose.
And what's the fourth pattern that you wanted to share with us around that that fascinating field of narratives and the stories that we tell ourselves?
Well, the fourth one's not as well researched, but it's still really important. Too important not to add. But it's this theme of communion. It's this idea of being able to, in your story, as you're telling yourself your story and telling other people your story, being able to recognize the people that showed up for you, the people who, not just the ones who betrayed you, but the ones who stayed with you, the ones who loved you through it all, the ones who encouraged you. Right? So this theme of communion, and again, people who are able to focus on those parts of their story as they tell themselves and other people their story, focus on the places where they did feel connected, they did feel loved, and people were there for them and helping them, were also able to have just greater well-being overall. And I think that this part's not as researched, but I think it's important to really include is even if maybe people weren't there, I think if we're talking about the Bible, and as we were mentioning earlier, like, we can always focus on the ways that God showed up even in those hard times. And I think that that would also tie in to that communion theme.
Look, I'm blown away, Maria, because I never learned about those things. And to me, it's all brand new, but I find it fascinating that psychologists were able to find those patterns. And I can definitely relate it to the Bible. For example, in regard to that point of communion, it's so fascinating. But when we think of the story of Joseph in the Bible, every time that something horrible was happening with Joseph, the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. It's almost like emphasizing, hey, by the way, Joseph was not alone. God was helping him in the midst of all of that. And I find it fascinating because, you know, when I look into my life and my stories of, you know, being betrayed or being unfairly dealt with, we often emphasize the perpetrator of that pain, but never emphasize enough the people that actually stood by our side. And that's a shift that I want to make in my own life stories from now on.
And I think that's a shift that it would benefit everyone to make, wouldn't it? So I would actually encourage, you know, the people listening to this, if they've really, you know, found the message helpful, it'd be really good to just pull out the pen and paper, you know, at some point and go through your story, but be aware of these themes, you know, be aware of the agency that was there, the communion that you had, maybe even in Christ, and the redemption that came through. And maybe there's been a particularly painful event that you haven't, you know, been able to work through, but try to rethink it and rewrite it. I think that would be a pretty helpful thing to do.
Absolutely. No, this is amazing. I'm going to be sharing that with all my friends from now on, Maria, because I think this is absolutely fascinating, groundbreaking stuff. And sometimes like getting to know these patterns really help to unlock our brains, our thought patterns to something much healthier than what we are accustomed to. Thank you so much for sharing this incredible knowledge with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And look, if, as Maria said, look, one of the things that I believe will help us generate, and particularly in our children, you know, they're in these formative years of their character. They're learning how to think. They're learning how to process. They're learning how to tell their own stories. But as we just heard from Maria, seeing our own stories in the big narrative, in the big backdrop story of the Bible, helps us to see what is our place in the great scheme of